Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Let's do a live radio broadcast. Everybody, everywhere. Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. Welcome back. We are so happy to have you. First of all, because you made a choice to come here. That means you think something's going to happen here, going to make your life better, and that is our intent. Oh, it's so good to have you back. It's a beautiful day again in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. Very pleasant, 108 degrees and sunny out. Woo! I like to kick it off like this. How about you, Magic Man?
Yeah, I'm definitely glad I got the CD from you. Oh, really, yeah. Liking it.
I like to kick it off where I can feel the energy in that song get me rolling for another Power Hour. You know, we've been talking about Peter White. I know we featured him just a few short weeks ago, but he's been in, you know, so many other featured artists that we had. Not, you know, most notably Basha just a few weeks ago. So we decided to go again with Peter White, mainly because I forgot my iPod. But anyway, you know what? Fortunately, I have a music library back, and we just went and pulled Mr. White again off the shelf to share a little bit more with you guys. Peter White, man, this guy is just the consummate musician. As you know, born in England, and not only a great player, and just, you know, when you see him in concert, he's just an all-around good guy. You know, one of the things I did find out last time he was on the show is that he wrote the song What Does It Take to Win Your Love by Junior Walker and the All-Stars. I thought he can't be old enough to do that, but I looked up. The guy was born in 1954. He's old enough! Yeah, welcome to my world, Peter. And he also wrote Mr. Magic, recorded by Grover Washington Jr. Yes, this is called Caravan of Dreams. Caravan of Dreams, all released somewhere around 1996 on the Columbia label. Pick it up. But as I told Zach today, don't just download this from iTunes. Buy the CD. You get all the good information. All you get when you download iTunes is a song. You don't get any of this, Zach. Let me just tell you.
He gets it from you.
Yeah, he gets it from me.
Oh, yeah, you don't get the liner notes and the artwork and everything.
That's right. You don't get all that stuff. Like, did you know? I can tell you right now. Let's see. We're opening with, what number was this, Zach, that we opened up with?
This is track 5 here.
Track 5, Long Ride Home. Peter White arranged this tune, and he's on guitar. But what you didn't know, he's also playing keyboards on this cut. Rick Braun opened up on flugelhorn, you know? And that flute you heard, that was Dave Camp. Ah, didn't know that. Can't get that.
You know it.
Can't get that. You know? Wow. So, I gotta have that. I gotta have all this information that I'm gonna be telling you about, which is right here on the liner notes. But you know what? It's that was one of the things I didn't like when they went from LPs to CDs, because you had that great big LP cover and they filled it with information. There were people who made their living as liner note writers, telling you all kinds of useful information about the artist, especially in jazz. And I mean, it was what really gave me my foundation in jazz music, was reading about them on the back pages of on their backs and in the covers of the LP. And now they just want me to download a song? What the heck? I don't know who's in that thing. I hear something comes in. Who is that? Who's it on that piano? Who's it on flugelhorn? Who's it on flute? Who's that? So that I can look for that person.
Now you just download it and have to look everything up on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I guess. That's still, you don't get it all, man. Who was in that song? All right, gang. We got a show on tap for you guys today. Our musical guest host, of course, as you know, Peter White. Welcome back. And we've got our early segment is going to be keys to leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness. And our main topic, as I promised you, is we're going to get into building a positive self-concept. Before we do, I want to get to an email that I got, that I received, again, from Al in South FLA. I guess he did listen to the show, but check this out. He says, thanks for getting to his question he asked me the week before. He says, awesome show. Very powerful. He says, I've listened to the show in its entirety 3 times already. And he sent that to me on Friday. So in between Thursday and Friday of last week, he had listened to that show 3 times. And he says he's going to continue to do so this week until he gets things right. And you know what, gang, I want to tell you, that's what you have to do. A lot of people, and that's one of the reasons we archive it immediately, is so you can go back and listen to it again. When I listen to some of the amazing audio cassette programs of Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar, sometimes I would listen to them over and over and over. I'd be on a bike ride, and I'd have several with me in my pack, and I'd be listening. And I'd listen to it through, and I'd go, oh, you know what? I got to listen to it again. And then I got to listen to it again. And then by the time I listen to it the third time, I go, yeah, did I hear something? And I get it. It got to a point to where I'd actively listened to it for so long, so many times that not so much I had it memorized, but I understood it. I understood the concept. And then I could start to convey and relay and teach that concept to other people, you know? And that's exactly what Al is talking about. And that's it right there, young man. You're going to keep listening to it until you get it right, until you understand it. But that doesn't mean you're going to be able to actually use it at that moment. But it's going to get your mind thinking. It's going to get your brain turning, and it's going to start changing things. And then you'll see it start. You'll find it start showing up in your conversation, and then people will start noticing you being a little different. And then you will then realize it is becoming part of your life. So that's what you said in that CD was great. I was glad to hear that. Listen to the show in its entirety, over and over and over, and continue to do so. And when and don't hesitate to go back to earlier shows. And because it's on the internet and the computer, you can skip through certain parts to get to the part you want to hear. And then listen to that part over and over. You can download it to your MP3 player. You can listen to it on your bike rides and your hikes. You can listen to it over and over and over. You can keep playing that same part over and over and over, as I would do with Brian Tracy, and listen to it till I got it right. Until I got it right. It's like sometimes I'm playing guitar, and I'll be listening to something that Wes Montgomery is playing, and I'll play, and I'll go back and listen to it again, and I'll listen to it again, and I'll listen to it again, and I'll be listening to the rhythm and the feel, and I'll listen to how to bend that note and how to hold that note, and how maybe I was getting off of it too fast. I'll just listen to it again and again. Listen to that thought, that concept, over and over, and you stop for a while and just think about it for a few miles while you're riding. Before you know it, your bike rides over, and you think, wow, not only did I get an exercise, I got physically stronger, but I got something I can use every day. I not only exercised my body, but I gave myself a mental workout. Very good, Al. I think that was terrific. All right, I'm going to skip over our normal, this time, our what we would normally have our at this point would be our shout-outs, and I'm going to go straight into my early segment because I want to do something that I think that several of the people in my shout-outs are going to need to hear, okay? I'm going to start talking about certain keys to leadership. Leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness. I'm going to jump right in that right now. Hey, gang, it is now exactly 9 minutes past the hour. 9 minutes past the hour, 5 here in downtown Phoenix, Arizona. A beautiful day, but I do have to digress for just a moment and take a moment of silence as we acknowledge the passing of summer. I have to very sadly report that it's not as hot at night as it was a week ago, which tells me very clearly that summer is coming to an end. The signs are there. I'm saddened. Oh, we may have a few more 108s and 110s, but it'll be the last gasp of a doomed ship. Summer. How brightly it shines, and how quickly it burns out, and before you know it, it's gone. So just a moment to sadly report that summertime in Phoenix has started its downward slope, and there are those of us who are saddened at its passing. Okay. Well, at least we're not living in some parts of Utah or the Dakotas where the snow didn't melt to the second week of July. And this is their only month of summer. The first week of September is going to start snowing there. So I guess I have to look at the bright side of things. But still, I'm going to truly relish these few 105, 6, 7, and 8, and 10 degree days that we'll have for the next month and a half. Yes, yes, Gay. We have another month and a half. Yay!
They're all yours, Mac.
I got them. You know it. But pretty soon, Magic Man, you know that you will be saying, unfortunately, the temperature has dipped below the Newton line. And you know that's 80 degrees. Well, of course, I do definitely have to recognize that the Magic Man is over here making everything happen, of course. Let's say hello to the Magic Man.
Thank you, Mac.
You're welcome. And the co-host sitting in her customary seat, making the whole room smell better, look better. But again, more new clothes on as she's sharing with us, the fabulous Natasha.
Thank you, Mac.
Yes, you're so welcome.
Okay. Yes, I do have new top.
Do you?
I love it.
You love it. There you go. A-Mom sitting in, making the room better, too. So, A-Mom, how you feeling today, darling? Say hello to your listeners.
Hello, and I'm feeling fabulous.
Good. People ask, who's A-Mom? I don't know. She said someone just dropped. She was, you know, we don't know who she is. She was walking down the sidewalk. I thought she came in to check out some rates or something, wanted to get into class, but next thing you know, she's sitting in the show. Just kidding. Oh, I tell you, I got to stop using those overripe bananas in my Mac Shake, you know, because when I do that, I cannot be responsible for my behavior. You know, just too much sugar in the system. You can tell when they're overripe when you don't have to peel them. Just cut off one end and just squeeze it out.
Just like toothpaste.
Squeeze. And you know it's overripe, and you're going to get enough sugar to have you jangling for the rest of the day. So there you have it. All right, gang, we're going to take a break here real quick. You stay right where you are. We'll come right back with the keys to leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Come back and join me, A-Bomb Zach, the Magic Man, and of course, the fabulous Natasha. A little Peter White is going to take us out to break. We'll be right back, gang. Stay right where you are. Hi, gang. I'm Mac Newton. I want to remind you of something that's kind of cool. You know, on YouTube, they have this program now where they will create actually channels for people who love to upload videos, which I am one. We've got probably 20 videos uploaded right now on YouTube, and they're all about things that I've done in the past. Might be interesting to you as listeners of the Power Hour. We've got all kind of old Power Hour shows that are uploaded. Yeah, shows where the Power Hour was on television, where I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, and we've got demonstrations of self-defense and kids on and all kind of interviews with musicians and a lot of famous people, all uploaded there on YouTube. And here's what is something special. I've got a free Minimax 7-minute workout for you, a complete total body workout that's available for you on YouTube free. Log on youtube.com. Put in the name Mac Newton, okay, or Mac Newton Channel, and you'll go right there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when you go there, gang. I want you to subscribe to my channel. This is going to allow me later on to become partners with YouTube, and sooner or later, maybe then I'll be able to get even my online workouts out there more than ever before. And speaking of my online workouts, they are doing great. You guys are loving it, and we're making changes based on the things you suggest. And in fact, this free workout is one of the things you've suggested. We got more coming. So log on to YouTube and check out all of these videos, all kinds of stuff. Going back when I had long hair. You want to see that? I know you do. Okay, gang. Hey, we'll see you soon. Welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. Got a little Peter White coming at you, bringing us back in from our break. You can hear Basha. We featured Basha just a couple weeks ago. We mentioned that she was very good friends with Danny White, who's Peter's brother. And they formed a group and lived in Chicago, where I had the pleasure to meet her. And also then moved quickly to New York and back to London, where I think she resides still today. But she is now performing here. An interesting note here on the liner notes on my CD, which you cannot get if you just download the song on iTunes. See how interesting this is. Peter White writes, "While I was writing material for this album, I happened to be performing at a nightclub in Fort Worth, Texas, called Caravan of Dreams. I was inspired to write a song during my stay there and named it after the club. Soon after, my producer, Paul, suggested that it might be a good title for the album. And gradually, I became intrigued with the meaning of this simple phrase, Caravan of Dreams. I've asked many people, including those in Fort Worth, what it means, and have come to the conclusion that it means many things to just as many people. I visualize a group of travelers moving in a brightly colored convoy in search of a better life, learning all along the way. Joy to be found, not in conclusion, but in the journey itself. It's all about life." Buy the CD, gang. Buy the CD. Peter White, as I said, not just another face in the crowd, but an introspective one who writes most of his material, and as you can tell, feels it. This is the CD, Caravan of Dreams, and now you know from whence the name came. Perfect. Added to your collection, Peter White, Caravan of Dreams. And as a matter of fact, I think you'll notice that some of you may notice that I've got Peter White actually signed this.
Little autograph action there.
Signed it for me.
Were you at the concert?
I've seen him several times in concert, and because I know Basha, and I'd met Basha, and I'd met Danny in Chicago, it was just sort of, I've seen him over the years, and I mentioned that, and so we sort of became friends. He read my book, and we've sort of become. So it doesn't, you know, it's amazing how easy it is sometimes for you to become friends. you mention something, and the next thing you know, I mean, long before I started playing guitar with George Benson, I met him in Chicago. We'd gone to an outdoor concert in northern northwest suburbs of Chicago, and it was a wonderful concert. And at the time, I was staying out late, having fun, like a lot of young men my age, and went to a late night jazz club to sit down with some friends and enjoy the music. I'd say it was around midnight or 11:30, and I was going to the bathroom, and I walked past. It was a private club, by the way, and there was this familiar voice at the door that I heard, and the bouncer and doorman was denying him entrance because he wasn't a member of the club. And I looked over, and there was George Benson. And I went over and I said, well, that's George Benson. And they had no idea who he was. And that's George Benson. He's a friend of mine, I said. He's my guest. And they brought George in. And we actually sat together for a while. And it wasn't until years later that I was asked backstage with someone else that was in concert with George, and we met again, and I told George the story, and he remembered it, because halfway through the telling, he didn't tell me he remembered the
story.
That's awesome. So it's amazing how things can just happen. The next thing you know, we're close friends. It's you know, life is a blast if you give it a chance. It just is a blast. Anyway. It's now 20 minutes past the hour, gang. Let me get busy here with my stories. And I know you guys love these stories because you tell me so, but you're really tuning in to hear today the keys to leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness as my early segment. And then so I can get into my main topic on how to build a positive self-concept. So let me get started. I originally put this together for the Oakland A's. And Tony La Russa. At the end of every workout session, every day during the 6 weeks of spring training, basically 43 days, and I eventually did a CD program that some of you have, and it's still available, called 43 Days on a Path to Power, which is nothing more than the actual documentation of everything I talked about on each day from the very first day of spring training to the very last day as I prepared a team for a major league season. Anyway, every day I would talk about some topic. And after several years of working together, Tony decides, he says, you know, what I need from you, Max, something I can share with my leadership coaches, my coaches, if I could come up with a list of things. He didn't give a number, 5, 10, that he could share with the coaches and the leadership of Oakland, and even the players, some of the players, some certain keys that leaders have, keys to teamwork, to success in a team environment. And after careful consideration and thought, trial and error, I came up with six very, very key elements to leadership. All right? I'm going to share them with you guys. These are applicable to business, relationships, sports teams. It doesn't really matter. Number one, there can be no grudges. One of the very first things I noticed when I joined the Oakland A's is how many grudges were held on the part of some of the star players. Or it just seems that we're on the outside, they seem to want to look like they were in support of everyone winning, while some of the things they did, and certainly some of the things they said in the clubhouse and other private settings, showed me that they were not in complete support of all their teammates, that sometimes they held grudges. There was resentment. There was bitterness. There was even suspicions. So I say there has to be an absence of suspicion and resentment and grudges. Okay? Number one, there must be an absence of suspicion, resentment,
bitterness, and grudges. Grudges only serve to undermine the willingness to succeed. And that is going to create in itself perpetual self-generating unhappiness and a lack of teamwork. It will be impossible to lead and get others to follow in that environment. So the very first thing you have to eradicate, whether it's a relationship, it has to become more harmonious, more liking. I don't accept a client I don't like. That's one of the ways that I think that we've created an environment that represents those statements. No suspicions, no bitterness and resentment, and no grudges. It's a healthy environment. It's a positive environment. It's a successful environment. If you're in a relationship with someone and you're holding a grudge against them, oh my goodness, it cannot succeed. If you're bitter because of something that happened in the past, or you resent something that they did, you resent their behavior, this relationship has no chance to succeed at all. And if you're suspicious of them, it has no chance at all. So this is the first step. So no matter what comes after this, this becomes the number one key that every leader has to look to create in their environment. And so many people, as mentioned to me, while they were sitting in their initial consult, and they'll say, I get the feeling sometimes that I'm sitting in this consult not so much to evaluate you as you're evaluating me to see if this is, well, I do want to see if you're a candidate for this place. I really do. Because I've got a lot of people out there with their lights on. I've got a lot of people out there who are going in a direction. I want to make sure that you're able to join this caravan of dreams, that you're able to step in line and become part of this success story and contribute to it. And sometimes I might ask them, what do you have to bring that will make my class better? Sometimes they're shocked to hear that question. What do you mean? I'm going to have to pay you. Why are you asking me how you can make my class better? You know what? My thinking is, if the only thing you've got to bring me is a check, then really I don't have much use for you. You have got to inspire me. You have got to bring something that's going to make this environment better in some way or another. Otherwise, I have no use for you. Because if all you're going to bring me is a check, let me tell you something. I've said before in this class, if the only motivation you have in life is money, I will pray for you tonight. Because you are a lost soul. If that is your only motivation, is money. There are so many more things, far, far more important. And money is one of the easiest things to get in this environment. Certainly, it's one of the things we need, but it's by far not the most important. That's number one. Let there be an absence of suspicions, resentment, bitterness, and grudges. Grudges only serve to undermine the willingness to succeed and in and of itself creates perpetual ongoing unhappiness. Number two, live in the present and the future. Eliminate unwholesome preoccupation with past failures and mistakes. You know, I wrote a blog a week or so ago where the last line on it was, learn your lessons quickly and move on. Learn them quickly and move on. So many people, so many of you listening to my voice right now are hanging on to past mistakes, things that have already happened, things that are already in the past and can't be changed one iota. The only thing we can do with them as learn from them so that we can affect better thinking and better choices and decision making, better appreciation and gratefulness in the future. But we certainly cannot live in the past. We must drop that knapsack, that whole bag of past failures and mistakes that we drag along with us. And as soon as we meet someone new, we sit down and say, oh, tell me your troubles, my friend. Tell me the things that bog you down. You show me yours and I'll show you mine. And we'll compare how badly we have it. You tell me how terrible your boss is, and I'll one up it. You tell me how terrible your wife or your husband is, and how they don't understand you, and they don't take care of you or give you the time or the things that you need, and I will one up you in that. Tell me how bad your kids are. Go ahead. This is what we do in life. We share them. We share our problems. Now it's no longer just enough to share them on in the Ann Landers columns in the newspapers. We have to go online and share them with everybody in this so-called social media and let everyone know how badly they have it. Well, you know what? Well, if you're sharing things like that with me, you will find yourself blocked. I'm not interested in sharing your misery. I don't want someone to share their misery with me. If I use a story, I will use a story so that you can use that to somehow relate to the solution that we're offering here. Not let us compare misery to see who can walk away saying, I told you I have a terrible life. I have reasons to fail. I have reasons to feel the way I do. One of the best examples I've used over the years is the example described by the letters W-I-N. W-I-N, what's important now? That's how you live in the present. You can live in the present by simply doing what's important now all the time. Not what's going to be important 5 minutes from now, but what's important right now. What's the most important thing for us to do right now? What's important now? You know what we're doing now with that? We're staying in the present. We're not living in the past. We're using our experience from the past to allow us to feel what is important right now. Zach, you understand what I'm talking about here? Okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes? What is important right now? We are using our experience of the past to make the best choice for now. What's important now? What does W-I-N spell? That spells win, and that's how you win, is you stay in the now. What's the most important thing to do right now? And when you do that, you eliminate all this unwholesome preoccupation with past failures, mistakes. But because living in the past, you know what you do? You guarantee a forfeiture of your future. You learn from the past. That's all. You grow from it, but you don't live in it. Now remember, I put this together for a sports team. I've shared it with so many business environments that I can't even tell you. I've had businesses literally pay me huge sums of money to literally record this for them so they could play it at a business meeting. Yes, not that long ago. I literally put these six. Now, of course, I did in a greater dramatization and a larger context, but still the same six that could be played at a convention. And I've done that many, many times. Number three, cooperate with life. I'd be willing to bet you there's not two of you in 100 that know what I mean when I say cooperate with life. Live in harmony with it. Don't try to dominate or conquer life. You don't confront your life like a burglar on the street. You mesh with it. Don't run away from life. Don't hide, and certainly don't try to destroy it. cooperate with it. Cooperation is the key. It's in business. Sometimes business people are described in movies as very Machiavellian, people who don't care about the emotions and the lives of other people, and they just soon step on them and squash them like so many bugs under their heel. But that's not the way the majority of business people are. The majority of business people I know are masters of cooperation. They're masters at getting you to go along with them. And the ones who are really successful, you will be amazed how much they're willing to do to help you. The steps they will go after to help you. Now, let me tell you a quick story and we're going to take a break. It's about 27 minutes past the hour, somewhere around there. It's a story about golf. Zach has heard this story before, and maybe some others of you have. It's one of the examples I use of cooperating as opposed to punishing yourself. I don't believe in punishment. I really believe in consequences. Consequential action, the ability of a leader and developing vision, being able to see into the future and know what would happen, because it is truly consequential behavior that we have to deal with, and especially consequences that are unintended. The unintended consequences, the unexpected consequences of our behavior that leaves us mired in circumstances. We wonder, how did I get here? Because we didn't think it through. We didn't visualize the future and see what could be. True leaders do that. They have that ability to see into the future and see unexpected, unintended consequences before they happen, instead of reacting to what happens. He said, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. It's not my fault. Well, you know, it's not a matter of placing blame here. It's a matter of using our brains for what it's intended for and developing it to a point where we can use it to its fullest abilities, and that is to see into the future. I said, live in the present and the future. When you are living in the present and doing what's important now, and you do that enough, you will be able to see the future. It's like Martin Luther King says, I have been to the mountaintop. I have seen it. I have already been there, and I may not be there. I'll be able to go there with you, but I have been there already. And there are so many leaders that say it in the same way. And I'm not trying, and not in any way, shape, or form, put myself in the category of Dr. King. But I have been so blessed to have listened to him so many times. And I remember what I was doing the moment I heard of his assassination. But I've wondered so many times that kind of vision and the things it takes, and if you do the things great leaders do, and if you aspire to be a great leader, sooner or later you too will be imbued with those same characteristics, and I can see the future. I have proven it. I can see the future, but you know what? So can you. But some people don't want to see the future. Cooperate with life. Let me tell you a story so we can take our break. Live in harmony with it. Don't try to dominate it or conquer it. Imagine yourself, or imagine someone playing golf by themselves. I think there are 18 holes on golf, right? 18 holes?
Yes, sir.
I think that, you know how it got to be 18 holes, how the legend goes? Because, you know, golf got started in Scotland or Ireland, one of those two countries.
I mix them up myself, honestly.
Yeah, I do. Ireland and Scotland. They're two separate countries. But I'm not sure if golf got started.
I want to say Scotland.
I do, too. I want to say Scotland. I know I'm going to receive something on that. I'm going to say Scotland. But if it's Ireland, I apologize. I apologize in advance. I'm going to say Scotland. But I think that, as the legend goes, two men were out playing golf. And they had with them a flask of their favorite Scottish whiskey. And on each hole, they would have another shot. Well, after 18 holes, the flask was gone, end of the round. That was it. 18 holes. I got to 18 holes. Not 17, not 19, and not 20.
So they ran out of booze. Then.
They ran out of booze. Exactly. They ran out of booze. 18 holes. That was it. They ran out of booze. I guess back in those days, they didn't have the little booze carts running around the golf course serving booze. I guess I'll hear about that too, whatever. Okay. If you want to send me an email, it's the SEVEN7@MacNewton.com. I'm not afraid. Okay. Anyway, here they are. Imagine someone playing golf. They're playing golf by themselves. They finally get to the 18th tee. They've played all the holes except one. And they hit the ball, and the ball flies up straight, and then all of a sudden takes a very sharp right-hand turn and goes across the trees and out of sight. Well, because they're playing along, no problem. They'll shoot what they call a mulligan, which means they take another ball out and they don't count that stroke. That one didn't really happen. It was a figment of all our imagination. And they put that ball down and whack, they whack it. That's a mulligan. So this is shot number one. Well, finally, he plays out through it. Took him a while because he was hitting the ball all over the place. But he finally gets it to the green and puts it into the hole. Well, as he's reaching down to pick up his ball, he looks down the fairway and he sees a crowd of people running down the fairway toward him. And he can tell by their body language, they're not happy. And he's intrigued. What the heck is going on with that? And finally they get down and say, hey, you, yeah? Are you the guy that hit the ball on the 18th tee up here that went off the course? He goes, oh. That's what it's about? Yeah, I am. But you know what? You can keep that ball because I had another. It's not about that. I'm going to tell you what you did. When you hit that ball and it went over the course, it went through the windshield of a car that a guy was driving down the street. Oh, my. I'm sorry. The driver lost control, ran into a tree. Oh, my goodness. The tree fell down in the opposite direction, blocking the route of a fire engine just getting ready to turn in. Oh, no. And a whole row of tract homes are burning to the ground. Oh, my God. What are you going to do about it? Well, you know what they wanted him to do. They wanted him to turn on himself like a mad dog. They wanted him to start criticizing himself. They wanted him to start, I'm just worthless. I never do anything right. They wanted him to fall down on his knees. They wanted him to just wail and cry. That's what we want. We want punishment. We want a pound of flesh. We want to beat ourselves up. That's what they wanted. You know what he said? He thought about it. He says, I got to think about that. Wow, I'm shocked. He says, well, only thing I can think of is I'm going to turn my grip a little bit more to the left is what I'm going to do. You know? Because, you know, if your grip is to the right, it opens up the club face and creates that slice that makes that ball go over there. And then, but if he closes it up a little bit, he's going to hit that ball square, get him a nice, you know, bottom to top spin and shoot that ball straight down the fairway there. And that way, we create effective change. All the other things are already done and can't be changed. And I'm sure he's sorry about all those things because I would. But right now, I have to take steps to make sure that doesn't happen again. Because here's the most important question, gang. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about this? If you don't make the change of changing your grip, you know what you do? You step right back up there, potentially, and do the same thing again the next time, creating even more devastating results. Because that's what happens when you don't learn your lesson and make a change. That's why I say cooperate with life, and that's what I mean by that. A little bit more Peter White to take you out to our bottom out break, gang. I guess that's 32 minutes past the hour. Wow, time flies when you're having fun. I'm Mac Newton. The Magic Man is making everything happen as it should. The fabulous Natasha is sitting here taking notes and making the whole room better. And A-Bomb has wrapped something around her shoulders over there. I guess she's cold. I am too, darling. It's about 82 degrees in our studio. But we live in Phoenix and we like it hot. You guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back. More Power Hour coming your way.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of championship level goal setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire championship level goal setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The championship level goal setting program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. I wanted to get a little bit more Basha. I just think this is such a haunting song.
Just another day.
Combination of her voice and Peter White's guitar. As you can tell, just another day. If you listen closely, you'll hear Peter White singing in the background along with her. I think it'll be right about here. Back in the year 2000, Peter White had the CD of the year called Perfect Woman. And also in the same year, he had the Song of the Year with Grover Washington Jr. and called Midnight in Manhattan. He was voted also by the Oasis Contemporary Jazz Awards the best guitarist of 2000.
Not too shabby.
Not at all. And our musical guest host. We are proud to have Mr. Peter White. Welcome back to the Power Hour again. Thank you. Hey, GA, I guess you're going to have to put this in your collection, right? Okay. I don't blame you. I know. It's pretty cool. A-Bomb says, you know, I've noticed a trend. Every time you feature something on the Power Hour, we're listening to it that night in our... In the stretching portion of our class. Have you noticed that, A-Bomb? Have you? You noticed that?
Absolutely.
Isn't that a good idea? Isn't it a good idea to do that?
Oh, yeah.
You got to speak into the mic so we
hear
everybody.
Yes, sir.
Yeah? You like that?
I do.
You get it started and you listen to it in the class too?
You get you hooked.
Pretty cool. You know? All right, gang, let's get back here to our keys to leadership, teamwork, and personal happiness. We've gone through three so far. Number one, the absence of suspicion, resentment, bitterness, and grudges. Number two, win by doing what's important now, living in the present, preparing for the future, being future-oriented. Eliminate unwholesome preoccupation with past failures and mistakes. And number three, cooperating with life, living in harmony with life, not trying to dominate or conquer it. Okay? So, I just gave you an example. Number four, force yourself to be outgoing. Don't retreat inside of yourself and hide. And you do this particularly during times of emotional stress. Emotional stress, where your emotions are involved. You say, well, is that the only kind of stress? No. There's physical stress, spiritual stress. There's stress that relates to finances. Emotional stress usually relates to relationships, interpersonal relationships, and the doubts and fears related to that. And it's during those times that people tend to retreat and hide inside of themselves. But one of the keys to leadership, one of the keys to teamwork and personal happiness is to force yourself to be outgoing. Remember, the mirror reflects what's shown into it. So force yourself to be outgoing. I'm going to use another example, another three-letter example, WIT, WIT, which means to do whatever it takes. Now, I want to give you an example of that, too. Whatever it takes. Force yourself to be outgoing by doing whatever it takes. A lot of people will say, you know, hey, listen, will you get this done for me by Friday? He'll say, well, I'll try. And I'll say, well, give it back. Give it back. Don't bother. No, I'll try. It's okay. You know. A lot of people have seen me do that. Hey, Bob, you ever seen me do that? Huh?
I have.
You've seen me do it. Yes. Natasha, you ever seen me do that?
Yeah.
Frequently, huh? You see me do that. I'll try. I said, no, give it back. Here, I'll take care of it. I do it all the time. All the time. Because I'm not interested in someone trying. I want someone who's going to get it done. I want someone who's going to say, I'm not going to try. I'll do it. Because, see, when you say you'll try or I'll give it my best shot, same thing. That means you're excusing a possible failure in advance of the situation. Okay? You're excusing it in advance. You're saying, I didn't say I'd do it. I said I would try. And you can't come back at me because I didn't say I would do it. I said I'd try. Good grief. What can I do with that? So you can't come back at me. Well, you know what I say? Don't bother. If the best you got is your best shot, I'm not interested in it. I'm going to give you an example of how weak your best shot really is, okay? Let's say that you have a child, and that child is a toddler. Maybe, what's a toddler, 2 or 3 years old? Something like that? So let's say a child is a toddler, and let's say that you're taking a nap inside of the house, and you're in the garden right outside the window. You're planting some flowers or some herbs. But you're very responsible, so you have up the little walkie-talkie system set up,
monitor.
You know, the monitor set up. Well, you can hear anything going on, you know. You got that one, you know. Maybe it's even in your earplug while you're planting flowers and they're taking a dirt. Put a little dirt on it.
Nice visual.
Yeah, exactly. You're just kind of doing a dig a little hole, put the flower in there, cover it up, put a little water. And you know, but you're responsible. you don't hear, and finally you hear a weird sound. It's like paper crackling up. And you look down around, it's not paper, it's flames. Flames shooting out of the window of that house, coming out of the window of the very room that your child is in. Now let me ask you a question. Are you going to give it your best shot to get the child out? Or are you going to do whatever it takes? A-bomb, you got kids. What are you going to do?
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. You can tell by the sound of her voice that she's not kidding. Whatever it takes. If you have to dive through the window, through the flames, are you going to do that, A-bomb?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Whatever it takes.
If you have to, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes means whatever it takes. Are you going to give it your best shot? You going to give it your best shot? Why not?
Because I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Why aren't you going to give it your best shot? Isn't that good enough?
It may not be good enough.
It may not be good enough. It is not good enough, and it has never been good enough. It's never been good enough, and it's never going to be good enough. Is all you've got for me is your best shot. Forget it. I'm not interested. I don't want it. I'm going to give it to someone who's already too busy, who will do whatever it takes. I am not interested. And anyone like me is not interested. And there are a lot of people listening to me right now going, wow, is he so right? Wow, how many times I've listened to people and I've been so frustrated because they've said, well, I gave it my best shot. Well, gee whiz, what do I say to that? You gave it your best shot. And you came up short. Maybe if you hadn't given it your best shot and just did whatever it took, we wouldn't be sitting here dealing with this failure. You were just telling me you were going to fail in advance before you even went after it. That's all you were doing and trying to set it up where I can't come back at you now. Either say you're going to do it or you won't. And once you say you're going to do it, you're committing yourself to doing it. But you say, well, suppose you fail. At least now I know I really got your best shot. Okay? Now I know that because you set out to do it, not to give me your best shot. What is your best shot anyway? Who knows what that is? You can only tell what your best shot is when you do whatever it takes. And that's how you force yourself to be outgoing. You don't treat, you do whatever it takes. Number five. Am I making any sense here, gang?
Perfect sense.
These are the keys to leadership. You bring these into any team, any work environment, a family, a home, a church, a business, it's going to get better. Number five, refuse to pity yourself. Nothing looks uglier than a person full of self-pity. Refuse to pity yourself. Don't make alibis or seek justification so that you can look special in the eyes of others. Just face up to responsibilities. Don't look around for a scapegoat. Refuse to pity yourself. You know, you see that on sports teams, you know, where they're looking for someone to pity them. This happened. Oh, sorry for me. This happened. Oh, I'm so sad. This happened. I didn't get what I wanted. Stop it. Grow up. Let's face up to responsibilities. Number six, cultivate old-fashioned character traits of honor, loyalty, and especially hard work. Let me say that again. And these are old-fashioned character traits because we don't see it that much anymore. I'm talking about hard work. People now judge whether they have a good job or not by how little work they have to do and how much money they can get paid for how little. You know what I'm talking about?
Exactly. It seems like a balancing ratio. Yeah. The pay is not only part of it, just the pay versus how much
little
effort they
exactly.
Have to do.
You know, did you ever have to hear about the guy who outsourced his own job? You know, he was getting $90,000 a year to do a job, and he hired someone in India to do the same thing on a computer for 12. So he didn't have to work at all, yet he got paid. Oh, that's great. And he thinks that's smart. That's pathetic. What kind of character do you think that represents? He outsourced his own position. You know what? I think there's a certain amount of honor involved here. a certain amount of self-respect that goes into us doing things that represent me and what I do.
Represents
honor
and
loyalty and
do.
Especially hard
I wanna,
work.
I wanna
you know what? I'm going to stay there as long as I get paid right.
I put my name
you know what? I'll leave. Nowadays,
say,
that's the work that I did. I'm proud of it. Now, when you put all of these six things together, the absence of suspicions and resentment, no grudges, living in the present, preparing for the future, doing what's important now, cooperating with life and doing what's important, I mean, doing whatever it takes, forcing yourself to be outgoing, refusing to pity yourself, and then cultivate old-fashioned character traits of honor, loyalty, and especially hard work, you now have the key ingredients to leadership. You have the key ingredients to leadership. It's now exactly 10 minutes before the hour. You know, I'm not going to apologize for this, folks, but I will tell you that I took too much time on our early segment, and we're going to call our early segment our main topic today. I'm going to throw a couple of quick things at you that I have here sitting in front of me that I pulled out just for this, a possibility. And I want to give you three things that we can do to believe in ourselves more. Because I've been using that phrase a lot, and I'll call this my early segment. Three steps that'll help you believe in yourself more. Because I've been talking a lot lately about we need to believe in ourselves. We need to know who we are and know what we stand for. So, three steps. Number one, stop putting yourself down. I get tired of seeing the body language of people who are putting themselves down. You see, it's not just the words, because I already know that we say well over half of everything we say with our body language. And something like maybe 12% with the words. So it's something like 65 or 70% of what you're saying is conveyed by the body language. Whether you believe what you're saying, whether you're confident in it. Your tone of voice represents another 20 to 30%. And finally, your words brings the rest of the meaning home. So I see people putting themselves down by the way they walk and the way they respond to questions. You cannot believe in yourself. You cannot like yourself when you're constantly putting yourself down. When you're saying, I can't do this and I can't do that and I haven't discovered a cure for cancer. Well, who has? I'm not a celebrity or a millionaire. Well, so what? And maybe they aren't happy either. I don't know. I'm just saying that one of the first steps to believing in yourself is catch yourself every time you try to put yourself down. Every time you try to say, I'm not good enough. And see, adults have a lot of those that comes at them all the time. A lot of I'm not good enoughs. Every time someone gets laid off from a job, it's like the people at work are telling them, you're not good enough. Every time they get rejected by a boyfriend or a girlfriend or someone tells them, I don't want to see you anymore, you're not good enough. You feel you're not worth as much as someone else. That feeling of worthlessness grows and grows, and eventually you have a guilty personality, and then there's no possibility of you believing in yourself. Stop putting yourself down. Stop putting yourself down. Too many people do it. Sometimes people listen to the success stories of other people and say, well, they can do that, but I can't. Well, I'm just not like them. I just can't do that. Well, you know, you're telling yourself right there that you can't do it. And as Henry Ford said, whether you say you're right or you're wrong, whether you say you can or you can't, you're right. If you can't accept, if you don't accept yourself as you are, you'll never see the opportunities that exist for you and the person that you are. And these opportunities are everywhere. They're everywhere that exists like you. You know, I've told you guys, so this is not a surprise. Back in the day, I used to do voiceover commercials in Chicago. And I used to also appear in industrial films and print ads. And sometimes I would go on these auditions. And I was amazed at how many people were so unhappy at the end of these auditions. And I remember once I walked out with this guy, and I'm 6'1". He was about 5'9½". He must have weighed about 125. I weigh 190. And we were walking out, and he goes, man, I can't believe they didn't pick me. I said, you know what? They weren't looking for you. They were looking for a blonde who was 5'5". They weren't looking for you. This is not a statement about how good you are or not. They weren't looking for you. If they were looking for someone 5'9½" and curly hair, you're it. It's not a statement about you. It's a statement that someone else is making about what they want. Why do we take all these things so personally? So we got to stop putting ourselves down. And that was one of the things I could do perfectly. Because every time I'd go to one of them and they chose someone else, I'd say, well, they just weren't looking for me. And pretty soon, I started doing so many things that I only had to work for one agency, and I even had to stop going on auditions because they knew to get me, they had to call that one agency. And I didn't have to do that anymore. When they were looking for the Mac Newton type, they didn't have to go look for a Mac Newton type. They get Mac Newton. Go there. But if they weren't looking for me, they wouldn't call there. And I never had to look at something and wonder, I'm not good enough. Okay? Number two. Stand up to crisis time. Stand up to crisis. Just don't let a crisis throw you off stride. You have to fight to stay calm and stay on track. Okay? You can't, you know, the Chinese have two characters. Zach's over here pressing on his check. I told you not to be lifting the heavy weights. What are you doing?
I tried to take it easy, sir. I'm sorry.
He's over there pressing on
his
pecs right here. I told you shouldn't have done that. Can you do the 3-minute workout? I mean, a 7-minute workout yet?
Yeah, I just signed up at one of those big box gyms with my friend as well, you know, thinking I was going to kick it into high gear, but
yeah.
I think I need to keep it with body weight.
I bet you there are 5 people in there who can do that 7-minute workout I have online. Challenge him. 5.
I definitely will share.
Yeah. See how many. No, see how many can do it. Perfect technique all the way through 7 minutes. 7 minutes. Can't do it. And you hear, oh, stop it. I don't want to see that.
I jacked myself up,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, right. Okay. Stand up to crisis. Don't let it throw you off guard. All right? The Chinese have two characters for crisis. The first is danger. The second is opportunity. So if we look closely, there's an opportunity there somewhere. You know what I suggest? Just think back to the other times you've been in a crisis and you've handled it perfectly. You handled it successfully. The ones you've turned into opportunity to get better. Be true to yourself. Let your words and your behaviors match and don't let yourself down. And finally, number three, Stay in the batter's box and keep swinging. This could be number one, and sometimes I use it as number one. Stay in the batter's box and keep swinging. You're only out when you quit swinging and get out of the box. Let's face it. Most people stop themselves from being successful by deciding, okay, I've done it enough right now. Don't you know that when you decide to stay in there, it changes the world? When the world knows you're not going to give up until you win, I'm telling you. So stop worrying. Make plans and move on them. If you stop, start all over again. But stay in the batter's box and keep swinging. Stay in there and keep it going. That's my early segment for today, gang. I'm going to call it How to Build Your Belief in Yourself. Okay. One other little quick thing as we listen to Peter White. Take us home. As the young man walked down the beach at dawn on a slightly foggy day, he noticed an old man ahead of him picking up starfish and flinging them into the sea. Finally catching up with the old man, he asked him why he was doing that. The old man looked at him and said, "Well, these starfish are stranded here by the tide, and they'll die if I leave them in the morning sun." And the young man said, "But the beach goes on for miles and miles, and there are millions of the starfish. How can your efforts make any difference?" The old man looked at the starfish in his hand, and he looked at the young man, and he said, "You're confused." As he threw it into the safety of the ocean, "It makes a difference to this one." That's cool. We don't have to try and do everything and be everything for everybody. Just be everything to the ones close to us. Not to everyone. Hey, gang, I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock. I want to say thanks to Pat McMahon, JC, JB, the fabulous Natasha, of course, the Magic Man. I want to remind you guys, save your best behavior for those close to you and who love you. Be true to yourself. Let your words and your behaviors match. And do me a favor. If you enjoy the show, tell someone else so maybe they can enjoy it too. My name is Mac Newton. This show is called The Power Hour. I love doing it for you because it gives me a chance to get better and become a better person this week. And I hope you feel the same. Peace. 3, 2, 1. The Mac Daddy is out.